You don't like it? Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they dealing, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, might not really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day, barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go, give you the best damn show on the radio, $1 million audience meets with your favorite host, $1 million connections, feel the force, most electric, most eclectic, listen to the shows where the pros expected, 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list, the best damn show on the radio, check this,
the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show in radio.
Knows I'm a motherfucking
I was gonna rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody vicious. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from their cloth.
Some people are talented and some people are gifted. I'm God gifted.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, once again to the Sports Authority and Other Stuff. I am one of your hosts, Corey G, and my man is on. So before we go any further, let me bring him in. My man, P, what's going on, baby? How you doing this evening?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. It feels like we haven't talked any sports forever, so let's do it.
All right, all right. Well, let's hop right into it. Let me get this out the way first because I know nobody really was going to talk about it too much. NHL playoffs, couple actually really good series pairs, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh, game 6 tonight. Yeah, I know. Tampa Bay leads the series 3-2, and in the Western Conference, St. Louis and San Jose. San Jose has a 3-2 lead, and the next game in that matchup is tomorrow night. That game, I think it's on NBC, the NBC Sports channel. The Lightning.
Yeah, we don't care. I'm going for
I care.
I
care,
I
bro.
St.
I
Louis
care.
To lose. Yeah, no, you don't. I watched a little bit last night, the San Jose game, and it was cool because it was 3-3. Actually, it was up 3-2 when I turned to it, and before I knew it, it was like 5-3, so I felt like I was a good luck charm for San Jose. So, I made myself watch that. As far as the Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh series,
get
I
St. Louis
on that one a little bit. You know, I just want St. Louis to lose
because
they beat us. So, yeah, it is what
right.
it is.
Yeah. So, with that said, man, let's hop right to it, man. You got the NBA playoffs in full and total effect. We have Golden State and OKC in what has become not only a good series, because I think we both expected it to be contested. I didn't know how many Golden State would win. You know, I didn't think they would sweep. Golden State has, you know, 2 really good offensive players. We knew it would be a good, entertaining series. Did not expect Oklahoma City to win one in Golden State. What are your thoughts on that series so far, Pierce?
Well, I had Golden State winning 4-2. I knew it was going to be competitive. I figured OKC would win one in Golden State, just like I knew Golden State's going to have to win one in OKC. During the season, I really try not to go too deep into season matchups as far as playoffs because a lot of times I think that angle gets overplayed, especially by the talking heads on TV. They went 3-1 against this team during the regular season, but, you know, because there's usually a lot of variables during the regular season, you know, back-to-back, who was out.
Right.
You know how regular season games are. But one thing
and
I know
it's the regular and it's the regular season. Your back isn't against
right.
the wall. It's not losing. You're done.
It's the regular season, and in the case of OKC, we've seen a team get into the playoffs and find a different gear. You know, go to a different gear. But even if you go back to the regular season, every game that they played this year, OKC was leading in the fourth quarter, which lets you know that, you know, they can play with Golden State. And they're one of the few teams that you should never try to match Golden State. You know, when they go to that death lineup that they only play about 20% of the time, you know, they put Green at the five, Iguodala,
right.
and Harris Tabarez at the three and four. But OKC could actually put Ibaka at the five, KD at the four, and sort of match that, long as they're getting something from Waiters, because they'll put Waiters, that Robinson guy that I still don't know how he's in the NBA, but somehow he made it, and Russ out there, and they can sort of match what Golden State does mm-hmm. to a certain extent. So it's a good series, and, you know, this is what it's all about. Golden State is in a – they had an historic regular season. If
okay.
they don't win the championship, it sort of really doesn't matter. And now they're back. They're up against the wall. So this is what you live for in sports. You want to see how do these guys respond. You know, what does the MVP have? Because even though I was okay with OKC winning game three, I figured they might,
right.
you know, being at home. I didn't expect them to be up by 40 points at any point in time in the game. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't think anybody expected that. I don't think anybody in OKC expected that.
It, you know, is one of my favorite Derrick Rose quotes during this season. We just let go of the rope, man. It looked like Golden State. You know, I think you got good use out of that quote. Because it always seems to fit, but you know. Hey, they just let go of the rope. Golden State, they go the rope. And OKC, man, they did some things. You know, Billy Donovan seems to be pressing all the right buttons. But now we got to see what Kerr is going to do to counter this. So it'll be interesting to see. One thing I do think, though, and I'm surprised the team hasn't done it. I knew San Antonio couldn't do it. But I think you can really run on OKC. And the reason I say that is that Russ always crashes. Usually your point guard is the first guy back. Russ is always crashing. I think when you get that rebound, you have to look to a push and attack and make them pay for crashing the boards like they do. Because Adams and those guys can't run with them, but Golden State's not making them pay and have respect yet.
I was actually talking to a friend of mine here, and I was always telling him that, like, when we played, like, even if it was just in the street or whatever, if the point guard went to the hole, I automatically, in my mind, when he went to the hole, said, all right, let me take a couple steps back so that I can protect against the break. You know,
right.
just that way of thinking. And to your
mm-hmm.
point, when Russ goes to the hole, you're right. Nobody is thinking, yeah, let me sacrifice my offensive opportunity to make sure that somebody is back on defense. And I agree with that point you made. It's one of those things that if you are just watching the game for entertainment purposes, you won't notice it. But if you like the strategy of the game, if you like the intricacies of the game, you know, if you like, and I know you do, and I do as well, if you like the game inside the game, that's something you notice. When you look at the game the way you're looking at it, and I think it's a very valid point, a very good point.
Yeah, I noticed in game three. I watched a couple of times where I was looking at the floor, and I'm like, you know, OKC, the floor is very unbalanced right now because there were times where all five players were beneath the timeline, and all I kept thinking was, you know, Golden State needs to get this ball and really attack, but they aren't playing as fast. As they usually do. It doesn't appear to me. It looks like, you know, a lot of what they come off of is a secondary break too, but they have to look to attack and not just rely on a secondary break, which usually, you know, they try to unbalance the floor and get the looks at the three. But I think they need to look at it to attack. And this is where Harrison Barnes comes into play, because if it's one thing he should be able to do, and that's run the floor.
Uh-huh.
She'll be able to get out, run the floor, and finish. But that guy is, like, in a twilight zone. You know, I know he hit a couple of threes here and there. You know, and you hear the guys on TV saying he's back. I'm like, he hit 2 3-pointers. I mean, Robinson hit 2 3-pointers. What does that prove? But he needs to have a consistent game tonight in order for Golden State to win. Because make no mistake, OKC smells blood in the water. They're like a shark right now. And the blood is in the water. And Golden State knows it. So we're about to have a classic.
And, you know, I'll say this. I'm glad. And it has nothing to do with any kind of hate. It has nothing to do with any kind of shade to one team or the other. I don't have a dog in the fight. Well, I guess I kind of got a dog in the fight as a Bulls fan. There is a part of me, I will admit, there is a part of me, Paris, that says that if Golden State wins the title, then there are people that say, well, they had the best record and they won the title, so that makes them better. I kind of want them to lose just so people don't have that easy out. Because, you know, people don't think. They like to take the easy way out. And they don't actually want to debate it. They just want to say, well, the stats say they had a better record than anyone in the championship, so they got one up on the Bulls. I don't want that to happen. But the basketball fan in me enjoys watching Golden State play. I enjoy the way, although, you know, Chef gets most of the praise and most of the publicity, they share the ball. Everybody gets touches. It's not like they're coming down and Chef is just gunning. They actually have an offensive style to what they do. And but at the same token, again, as a fan of the game and as a fan of great players, it's also good to see OKC, to see their two stars, to see Durant and Russ actually performing when they need to perform. Because we all know that Russ has some fourth quarter issues. We all know that for whatever reason, come up with an excuse or have a valid reason, whatever you want to call it, they haven't gotten it done when they needed to get it done. So the basketball fan in me wants to see them succeed. At the end of the day, so far, what we've gotten is just what you predicted, and I thought as well, we've gotten our money's worth. We've gotten an exciting series.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a game tonight that you're looking forward to. And the beauty about a 2-1 series in OKC's favor is that it makes this game more exciting because the big dog, so to speak, is behind the eight ball. So now if they lose tonight, now it's Golden State. I'm in no way, shape, or form counting them out, Paris, if they lose tonight and they go down 1-3 and they're from their side it'll be 1-3. I'm in no way, shape, or form counting them out. But if they get down 1-3, they're going to have to work, and they're going to have to earn everything they get going forward, obviously. And again, as a fan, I want to see them perform because, let's be honest, they've kind of – well, at least this season. I can't speak for last year necessarily because I can't really remember verbatim how their season went. But this season, they've pretty much been front runners. They haven't had the chase. They haven't had to had their backs against the wall. So I want to see how they perform. That's kind of what I'm looking forward to. I wouldn't mind seeing OKC win tonight just to see how Golden State comes out in that next game.
Right.
That's what I wouldn't mind seeing. Are you looking?
Yeah,
is there anything you're looking for?
Well, I couldn't disagree with you, but I'm looking for, from the Golden State point of view, I have a number of 70. That's a combined point that Clay, Curry, and I feel Draymond Green need to be able to provide for those guys.
Okay.
I know we'll get to Draymond Green in a little bit. But Clay Thompson needs to step up. I know he had 25 the first game, I believe 18 and 15 the next two, but he needs to be that more of a consistent player. Now, I'm not the type of guy during the playoffs. You know, a lot of times I think, you know, since there's so much emphasis on it and we really watch it and, you know, we're in each game, and sometimes, you know, as fans, we just tend to go a little bit overboard with our analysts. You know, guy has a good game, everybody pats him on the back, look at him, he's hooping. You know, guy has a bad game, he's trash, he's a bum. Because I believe in the playoffs, you know, each game is its own little separate skirmish. You know, each game is different, and it all leads to the bigger picture, which is the entire series. So
right.
In this game, I'm looking at what I talked about earlier. For Golden State to get back to playing Golden State ball, Andrew Bogut, I've been saying it for a couple years now, winning is the ultimate cologne. Because when you win, everybody's happy, people really don't pay attention. But that guy could be a real dog. You know, it seems like he starts out every game with two fouls, which has to be frustrating as heck for the coaching staff. But it's like, dude, you're a big dude. We need you. Why do you always get two dumb fouls in the first quarter? I know Kerr has asked him that. Probably not the same verbiage that I use. I'm sure he's asked him that. Like, why do you keep doing that? Barnes, Iguodala, those guys need to step up. If you OKC, you just keep doing what you're doing. You keep attacking. You know,
yep.
Every time Russ
yep.
is coming downhill, he goes. Adams is, you know, doing his thing on the board. We know what KD
right.
is going to do. Waiters has actually been playing good. And it really haven't gotten much from Cantor yet. And Billy Donovan's only really pretty much playing an eight-man rotation, which, you know, a lot of teams shot
mm-hmm.
down in the playoffs anyway to nine, but he's down to eight now. So that's what I'm looking for. But I think Golden State wins by three.
Okay, I'm going to say this and take it for what it's worth. I'm in no way, shape, or form going with they're running the Jordan rules because it's just not the truth. But
right.
I will say this. What OKC has managed to kind of do, and I say kind of because game one, you know, if I recall, Seth had mid-20s. Thompson had mid-20s, and Green was up there in the 20s as well. But
mm-hmm.
with the exception of that game, they've made almost, I don't want to say obsolete, but they've made the other people work harder. Like,
right.
like it's like with the Jordan. Jordan is going to get his. All you want to do is make him work a little bit harder, but more importantly, you don't want anybody else to get off. And I
mm-hmm.
think when you look at OKC, that's the key. You can't really concentrate on stopping Seth. Seth is so quick. He's so good on the dribble. And they set really good picks for him as well. The key is
right.
to make sure you don't let anybody else get off. You can't let Thompson get 25 and Draymond Green get you know, 27 and 7. You know, you have to stop those guys. And I think OKC has been doing pretty good. I mean, as good as you can expect to do against a team that has as much talent as Golden State has and runs the offense they do. So, you know, you want to see the two offensive-minded players keep doing what they're doing, but you also want to see Waiters get, you know, roughly 10 points. That would assist. You want to see them keep a defensive mindset to keep attacking. And I like what they've done so far. It's made for some really good games, you know, except for the, of course you had the blowout, but even
mm-hmm.
then, I enjoyed watching it because once it was a blowout period, I really started looking at Chef. I started
mm-hmm.
looking to see how he was coming off picks, if he was coming off his heart, looking to see if he was still as engaged
right.
as he was previously, and I wanted to see how OKC reacted. And to your point earlier about, you know, game to game. That was something I said. I can't remember if I said it to you over the phone or if it was the last show we had where I was saying I don't necessarily believe in momentum from game to game, but I do believe in in-game momentum. You know, as far as,
mm-hmm.
you know, we won by 40, so now the next game is good. No. Once you tip, that's a brand-new ball game. These are professionals. These are not high school kids. These are not college kids that are still thinking about that other stuff. These are grown men. And I don't think anything that's happened in the first three games from a mental standpoint will play into this game tonight. What I will be watching, though, for Paris, and I want your opinion, and I'll use this as
mm-hmm.
a lead-in. Well, now, you know what? Let me say that. Cause let's go to Toronto. Because when we get to Draymond, that'll be a whole segment in and of itself. So unless you had something else on this series specifically you want to get into right now, let's get into the Toronto-Cleveland series.
We the North.
All right, Perry.
We the North. I mean, did we all underestimate? Because we all gave them one game. I think, you know, some people even went sweep, but I think most of us gave them what they call a gentleman sweep. We all gave them one because, you know, hey, it's a conference finals. They're pros, too. They can get fired up and win a game. But I didn't expect for them to win, too. And I'm finding myself thinking, okay, did we underestimate those guys? Because why are we patting a number two seed on the back for actually winning two games against the number one seed? Are we going overboard? I mean, weren't they supposed to do that? Normally, wouldn't we expect that?
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. But it's amazing
I'll let you finish. Go ahead. You got it.
Well, I just find it amazing how the course of two games has completely changed the whole makeup and outlook. Because, you know, in the first two games, Cleveland walked on water. Toronto didn't even deserve to be in the playoffs. Fat Lowry was going to decompress during the games. I'm still not a fan of that. I really don't know what that was all about. And they were just a horrible matchup. And the question was, when will Cleveland ever lose? You know, are they going to be 12-0 by the time they make it to the conference finals? God, these guys are great. Man, they're cooking. Look at Kyrie Irving. You know, Rumble, young man, Rumble, as my man Perk would like to say. And all of a sudden, they go to Toronto. And now it's back to, okay, this team has issues. You know, Tristan Thompson isn't rebounding enough. Kyrie Irving, he's not getting others involved. Game three, he shot bad. You know, it happens. It's one bad game. Game four, he shot better, but then Fat Lowry went through him like a fat knife through butter. Kevin Love, where are you, Kevin Love? All of a sudden, he can't play. I still think that Toronto really has a snowball's chance, and you know what, of winning this series. But as a fan, I'm just happy that we have a competitive series now. Did you see the video Carol posted?
You know what? I watched literally the first couple seconds, and I quickly lost interest. And so I know what you're talking about, but tell me what they said. I stopped watching. I didn't have any interest because it was kind of put up like they were jaw jacking. And I'm thinking, you should probably just play basketball. And I didn't watch it, so I don't know what it was.
Now, it really wasn't nothing too inflammatory, but he was just sort of like, yeah, we went out there, we did our thing tonight, there go my man Biombo, my man Kojo, like Corey Joseph has a nickname now, my man Kojo, you know, we did what we supposed to do, now we coming to Cleveland to get one, and I'm just sort of going, why would you do that?
Just play basketball. Yeah.
It wasn't like a over-the-top type thing, but it was still one of those things where it's like, dude, why? You was quiet as a church mouse 3 days ago. Now you making videos. Just shut
you
up
know,
and go play the game. Just be quiet and go play the game.
It's one of those things, Paris, where in society we have made a lot of advances. As a people, we went from talking through, you know, soup cans with strings to people to having real phones and pagers and cordless phones, and now we've got cell phones and now we've got these things like Twitter and Facebook pairs where we can just say whatever comes to our mind and we can put it out for millions to see. And it's all the advances we've made, Paris. I think when you look at social media, it has allowed people to show and do the goofiest things. To your point, why would you do that? Why would you? Like, why would you say anything? We just had a conversation about momentum and does it go game to game or okay. But still, why would you poke the bear, so to speak? Yeah. Just say, man, you know, we're coming to Cleveland. We obviously need to get one in Cleveland if we want to win the series. Man, we're going to come to play. It's good to be back in it. Hope you fans will support, show up, and just do it like that. But even subliminally, why are you taking shots at people?
Why are you? Personally, I'm not making a video about anything after the game.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm not. I don't have nothing to say. I have nothing. Not even to the fans. Nobody. I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't get it.
No argument.
You know, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Maybe it makes them feel better, but I'm like, you know, why do that? And as far as I got a question for you. Let's get to this LeBron James thing. Last night, you know, sure you left the game, 5 minutes left, and this guy doesn't take a shot. And guys like Matthew Dellavedova are getting shots. Now, I know you always have to make the correct basketball play. That's what it's all about, making the correct basketball play. But doesn't it get to a point to where you're the guy, you have to be aggressive?
You know, I'll say this, Paris. I, like you, am all for the correct basketball play. I'm a big fan of the correct basketball play, Paris. But you know what else I'm a fan of, being a Bulls fan and watching the Bulls in the 90s? I'm a fan of winning or losing the game with Michael Jordan having a ball in his hands. And listen to what you said, the correct basketball play. So if it's one play and I'm LeBron James and I'm doubled, then I'll pass to the open man because that's the correct, quote-unquote, basketball play. But when you're LeBron James and you get, what was it, one shot in the last 5 minutes and no shots in the last three, then that is the absolute opposite of whatever you think a correct basketball play is. LeBron James should have the ball in his hands, and he should be at some point imposing his will on the other team. We all know that LeBron James goes to the hole, and he's LeBron James. So even if he's running through people, he's going to get the call more than likely. There's no excuse for it. And I'm tired of people deflecting. I'm tired of people covering it up, and I'm tired of people trying to make light of it because there's a difference between the correct basketball play and being a non-factor for 5 minutes.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's a problem.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and that was my whole thing, and you know, and I really – really was trying not to think about it, but I don't know if you heard him when he went to the podium last night, and I don't want to make this into a, you know, bash LeBron James thing, but the dude just irks me sometimes because he goes to the podium, and one of the first things he mentions is that he played 46 minutes and that he stuck to his game plan, his, mind you, his game plan for how he wanted to play and how what he wanted to do, and he played 46 minutes. And now, him mentioning the 46 minutes, that wasn't by accident. He didn't just throw that out there. He wanted everybody
to
know
himself.
That, yes, that
he was trying to cover
46
himself.
Minutes, and I may have been fatigued. I'm not going to say I was. I'm just letting you know, hey, I played 46 minutes, so maybe I was a little tired down the stretch, and maybe that's why.
Hey, Paris,
I
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a
yes.
question, Paris.
Mm-hmm.
In all the years you played basketball,
mm-hmm.
when you were tired, if you ran up court and you had the ball, did you ever have a problem shooting?
Nope.
Okay, just checking.
Nope. Never.
When I was tired, you know, if I made it up the court and I had the ball, oh, man, I'm shooting. If I got an open shot, I'm shooting.
I always prided myself on working real hard in between games and practice and things like that, where I was one of those dudes where I never wanted to come out of the game, and I always prided myself on being in enough shape that – now, I understand the coach is going to come get you because I've been that dude, and, you know, I've had guys that played for me that felt like, okay, I'm not tired, but still – You know what I'm saying. You still got to go get them. But even right. at that moment, even if I was tired, I've never been too tired to get that ball above my head and let one ride.
See, that's all I'm saying. It's not even about making the shot or missing the shot. It's about the fact that he didn't even take but one shot in 5 minutes. Like, come on,
right.
dude. You're LeBron James. You're arguably the best player in the game today. And I say arguably because you can make a, you know, you can obviously make an argument for Steph. But there's no shame in being the number two guy. Let's just say he's the number two guy for conversation's sake. You're the second best player in the league. How do you not get a shot? I mean, and then it's just always something. It's always a, you know, like, he never just says, yeah, that was my bad. I was BSing. I should have done better. Oh, no, I played 46 minutes. Dude, you just had a week off. Nobody cares. You're a professional athlete. You're in tip-top shape. And basketball is not soccer. You
right.
can rest during commercial breaks, free throws, timeouts, fouls. It's all kind of times to rest. Don't give me that.
Yeah.
Just man up and say, I wasn't ready. I didn't get it done. Again, I hate to keep going back to Mike, but I don't think I ever heard Mike say I was tired as an excuse. He would say I was tired, but you would never hear Mike say I was tired. That's why I didn't get it done. He would just say, I didn't get it done. Period.
Wow.
And be done with it. And all of LeBron's career, and I know people don't want to hear this, Paris, it's always been somebody else. When he left Cleveland to go to Miami, it wasn't he made a decision. It was, well, I got with my people. I talked to my mom. I talked to my friends. And we thought this was best. When he went back to Cleveland, we thought this was best. It's never LeBron. It's never LeBron.
Right.
And I'm not a LeBron hater, Paris, but whenever LeBron talks, it's never LeBron. It's never him. It's always something else. I played 46 minutes. So are you throwing shade at Ty Lue? Because that's what it sounds like. Now,
I don't even think about that. Just saying, Paris,
that's your way of saying the coach or coach, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what he's saying. And I don't want to imply that's what he's saying, Paris, but when you throw so many different dynamics into the conversation, that's what happens. You leave people the opportunity to guess. Mike would just stand up and say, hey, I didn't get the job done. Mike, were you tired? Yeah, I was tired, but I'm a professional athlete. There's no excuse. I didn't get it done.
Right.
So there's no questions after that. LeBron, when he talks, he's kind of like George in the sense that he just leaves you a lot of open endings. Like, there's never a definite. It's never.
Yeah,
I
like,
just
well,
made
we can...
it. What was that?
Yeah, it's either we can go this way with it or we can go that way, and I'm okay with either way.
Dude, and that's how I feel. And I mean, as much as I, as a basketball fan, Paris, as much as I'm a fan of LeBron James, and I am. I have no shame in saying it. Again, I said it earlier. I like to see the best perform at their peak. I love it. There's nothing like it in any sport. If you can see the best, if you don't watch soccer, but you can watch soccer and see the best do it, that's when you want to watch. You don't want to watch two bum countries go at it. You want to watch the best go head to head. So if I get to see LeBron, I'm looking at what I consider to be one of the best. And you know what I don't want to hear from the best players? Excuses. I don't want excuses. And even your reasons sound like excuses. I don't want to hear it. That's just me, though, Paris. That's just how I feel. I've really gone on too long about it. I give the floor to you.
No, I echo your sentiments exactly. After a while, you know, just come up to the podium there and just say, hey, we lost the game. And just keep it moving. Don't exclude yourself from your teammates. Don't separate yourself from your teammates. Just admit, hey, we lost the game. It wasn't because I was tired. You know, if I was the coach, I honestly would have a problem with this whole, you know, game plan thing. Because I'd be like, so what is your game plan? Is your game plan my game plan? And how about we follow my game plan since I'm the coach? I would say something real sarcastic like that. You know, sort of like, I need you out here the whole time. I don't need you trying to pace yourself or, you know, whatever the heck it is you're trying to do out there.
Paris, I'm at a loss. I'm really at a loss when LeBron James speaks sometimes. I mean, again, I don't want to make it a kill LeBron segment because I'm a fan of his game. But I've watched too many great players in my 45 years that step up to the podium and accept responsibility, whether it's their fault or not. And they don't throw a bunch of excuses out there. They don't say it's because of this, that, or the third. It's always on them. It was always Magic's fault. It was always Mike's fault. It was always Isaiah's fault. It was always Larry Bird's fault or Kevin McHale's fault. You know, Tim Duncan took the blame. I didn't do enough. But when it's LeBron, it's
right.
I'm tired. Oh, no, he didn't say I'm tired. Let me not misquote him. I played 46 minutes.
Right.
You know,
right.
I made the right basketball play. For 5 minutes, the right. You know, it's kind of like how ESPN does their top 10, and they'll have like 3 plays as one of the top 10. That's kind of
mm-hmm.
like what he's doing when he says, I made the right basketball play. Well, for 5 minutes, dude, it's not the right basketball play. You need to get more shots up. For the people that are calling in, we do have some callers. Check out the website, bdshournetwork.com. If you're listening on Blog Talk, give us a call, 347-637-3859. Also, if you would like to get in on the conversation, don't forget you need to hit the number one button. So, again, if you are listening on the phone, if you've called in and you want to speak on a topic, just press the number one button. That lets us know that you want to get involved. All right, Paris, so we've covered both series.
So neither one of these guys is the number one? Oh, man.
Nah, not yet.
Okay,
I think one is Perk. I don't know.
I'm
not
nine,
feeling
I
well, but
Perk.
I thought 985
no,
was 985.
Yeah, that's 985. That's Perk.
Okay. So if you guys want to get it, just press the one. And we're sitting here waiting for you. But let's get to the Draymond Green situation, Paris. I know you have some strong opinions. I have opinions, not so strong. So with that said, I'll let you lead us off.
Simply said, let Draymond Green play. And here's the reason why I think the NBA made the right call on this.
All right.
History has taught us, well, we all know that life isn't fair. Will we agree on that? Life
oh, definitely.
Fair.
Yeah.
The privilege.
Yeah.
The
no doubt.
Privilege get away with things that we don't get away with. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way in sports.
Yeah.
It's the same way in the NBA. Stars get calls. Now, no commissioner will ever admit that because they can. I get it. But we all know the better player you are, the more lenient that the rules will be interpreted in your behalf.
Definitely.
And I feel like Draymond Green falls under that category. Now, a lot of people like to go back to the incident in 2007. You know, when
Phoenix
when
and San
we
Antonio?
Had, yes, when we had the guys
okay.
leave the bench and the NBA banned them. You know, they did what they had to do, and they banned them. I believe it was Warren Theau and Amari Stoudemire after my man Big Shot Rob gave – Steve Nash, one of the better hip checks that you'll ever see. A hockey player would appreciate the way he hip checked him into the scoring table. And those guys
right.
got up off the bench, took a couple of steps. Now they're off, and that changes history because I think that team was going to the championship. And a lot of people go, well, they did that in 2007. Well, you know what? I think they got that wrong. And it goes back to a lot of what you said earlier when we're talking about Golden State and we're talking about OKC. I don't want anything messing with history. I don't want any asterisks. I don't want to, well, they went down 3-1 because they lost game 4 because Draymond Green wasn't there, yada, yada. I want to see the best players play. In the playoffs this year, we've seen Isaiah Thomas slapped Kwame. He didn't get ejected. He didn't miss a game. We watched Kevin Durant in round one, and this is key. Round one, I think at some point in time, he declared war on the Mavericks because he pretty much punched the rookie and elbowed the heck out the big terrorist, whose name I can't remember because he's Mr. Irrelevant. Now, he was ejected out of a game, but he wasn't suspended. Why? Because that's KD. Just like Dejounte Jones, let me tell you something. If LeBron James does what Dejounte Jones did, do you think he gets suspended, Corey? Just a yes or no, my friend. That's all I'm looking for.
No. No.
And that's my whole point. And also, now, I'm not saying Draymond Green is no choir boy, but I think what really helped him is that I was listening to this guy from the NBA office on the radio yesterday, is that, you know, when they were interviewing him, he was saying how, hey, look, I do that when I shoot sometimes. That's what I do. I kick my legs to throw my arms up. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I sort of had the same look on my face when I first heard it. But they said that they went out. I know the face you're making, like, yeah, all right. Sure you do. But they went out.
Don't act like you know me 30 years, bro.
Yeah. They went out. They reviewed. Call us. We see you. We're going to get you in a second. They went out. They reviewed the video. And they actually found incidents of him doing that before.
Right.
They actually seen video of him doing that before. So you put all that together. And that's why I'm happy the NBA didn't suspend him. Because I don't want to see anything influence. And maybe I'm just being a fan here, and I'm just sort of being selfish. But I don't want to see any star players get suspended. I'm not going to lie. Just like if that would have been LeBron James instead of Dejounte Jones, I don't want to see LeBron James miss a game. Dejounte Jones,
right.
Who cares? He's a ghoul. Yeah, no one cares. I don't want to see Draymond Green miss a game. If it was Mo Spates and they suspended him, okay, Big Mo, go sit down. You know, just like I don't want to see KD miss a game. I don't want to see Russ miss a game. LeBron, Uncle Drew. I was going to say Kevin Love, but that would be probably too far. Fat Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. None of these guys decide the outcome of these games do I want to see miss a game unless they do something completely egregious. And that was my whole point, is that things aren't fair. They aren't always black and white. There's always gray. And in this scenario, they couldn't unequivocally say that that was the intent, was to kick him in the groin. And that's why I feel like he benefited. But I tell you what, that was upgraded to a flagrant two, which means one more tech and he misses a game. And I'm going to let you know.
And I
right
think
now.
That's what people miss when they were saying, why was the league upgraded? Because they're basically saying, yeah, go ahead. I'm going to let you finish your thought. I'll get to it. Go ahead.
One more game, he's going to miss a tech. And I think that we all know that another tech is coming for Draymond Green. It's coming. It might not be tonight. Yeah. It might not be game five. But can you see this dude playing at least 7 to 8 more games without getting the tech? I know I can.
No.
And that's why. And that is why I'm glad that they didn't suspend him.
I will say this, and then we'll get to the callers. Initially. I mean, I personally, I'd hate to think that a man would kick another man in the groin on purpose. I would hate to think that a man would do that.
Right.
But at the same token, you know, the one thing I like about the flagrant rule is when they say if it's above the head, it's a flagrant. It's not about intent, the action.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care whether he was doing it on purpose or not. I mean, I should say I don't care. But, you know, the one thing, like, you think about Reggie Miller, how he would shoot and he would kick that leg out. I always thought that should have been an offensive foul.
Right.
If you are Draymond Green shooting with your leg out, at some point the league needs to call that and say you cannot do that. But to your point, which I agree with 100%, nobody wants a follow-up to the San Antonio Phoenix series where there's excuses and reasons, and 10 years later people are still, you know, talking about it. So from that standpoint, you definitely want to see teams at full tilt unless, like you said, unless it's an obvious, if you saw him walk up and replay showed him saying something, you know, F you, and then the foot comes. All right, do what you got to do. So that's why when you said 100% earlier, I was like, I wouldn't say 100% because there's a part of me that still thinks he did it on purpose. But because I don't know, I don't feel it's fair to the fans. I don't feel it's fair to the team to kick him out on an if and a maybe. And with that said, let's get to the first caller. The 985 area code, I believe this is Perk. 985, you're on with Paris and Corey. Who is this?
Man, this is Perk. What's up, fellas?
What's up, Perk? How you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good, man. Pretty good.
All right, so I know you got an opinion, Perk. You always do. What is your take on the Draymond situation, or did you want to talk about something else?
Nah, that's fine. We can do Draymond Green. We can do my opinion on Draymond. I think he's a very emotional player. So I mean I can't say 100% that, you know, he didn't try to do it, but at the end of the day I'm like, Paris, like, I mean, nobody wants to see this and nobody wants something controversial like this to step in the way of history, and that's history being made, you know, by OKC, not only Golden State, because if OKC beats his team at full health, then they go down in the history book. So no one wants to see, you know, something as minuscule and controversial as this, you know, break up what we know to be a historical series.
Yeah, nobody wants to ask what's next to it.
Yeah, right. Now, in order for OKC to finish it, if OKC were to beat the 67 win Spurs, 73 win Warriors, and then beat LeBron James in the finals, I think we would have to start looking and saying, was that the best run to the finals ever for a team? That would be the discussion. If they were to be able to beat three teams of that caliber. And it would be, of course, you know, all of the other three teams would have home court advantage, so they would be underdogs in all three series.
Correct.
So if they were to pull that off, that might be one of the best runs in the history of the NBA. And right now, it's looking pretty good because they put in the wood to Golden State as we speak. But it's extremely early, so.
And Chef just got a 3-point play, so. Well, 3-point foul. So
if they can survive this run, they should be okay.
Perk, let me ask you a question. And before I ask you the question, I have to say this. I got to give Toronto props, and I meant to do it earlier, but we started talking about the LeBron James situation. I got to give Toronto props. I honestly thought they were done after the first two games. And to their credit, I'm glad I was wrong, because I want to see basketball, man. I want to see some games. I don't want a 4-0 sweep. So props to Toronto for not giving up and showing us why they're the number two seed. Because as Paris said, at some point, people got to stop giving them props as though they're the number seven seed. They are the number seed. Perk, what were your thoughts on that series so far, the Cleveland-Toronto series? And what were your thoughts on LeBron James' comments after last night's game, if you heard them?
First, I'd like to say, on the Toronto series, I know parents normally get on me for kind of speaking in Toronto's favor sometimes, but I'm not even going to do that tonight. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say, look, man, I know Toronto is playing hard, But I really believe Cleveland is kind of just off the gas. Like, now, you know, many might disagree, but I just really feel like they just got their foot off the gas a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they don't have that hungriness. They don't have that hunger. They don't have that greediness to convince me that they want to win a championship. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they'll get to the championship and the team on the other side, which would be the West, is going to take it from them. And that's just from what I've seen against Toronto. Like, I definitely think they're leaving something in the tank.
Okay.
Paris,
you got a response?
They left in the tank. Yeah, the only thing I think they left in the tank when they went up to Toronto was their offense. Toronto came out and played very good defense, and all those spots that you know, Kyrie was getting to in Cleveland with no type of resistance, that changed. And they also changed, Casey sort of changed what they were doing, because those first two games, they were intent to take away the three-pointer to a certain degree. And that's why Cleveland, you know, they had all those lanes. And what was that stat in the first two games? LeBron James averaged, what was he, 2 feet away from the basket when he scored? And now two games that went up in Toronto, you see they're packing the paint. If you watched them defend LeBron James last night, it looked like the finals against the Mavericks. When they went underneath every pick, we stood at the free throw line and said, go ahead, do what you got to do. We not coming out there. You not driving. And he had a very efficient game. I believe he was, 11 for 16 or 17 or something like that. So they changed what they were doing on defense, and they got very physical with Cleveland. Cleveland tried, especially last night when they came back and took the lead. So they, you know, they were doing their thing. I don't think they really let the foot up off the gas. I think Toronto just took it to them and outplayed them. And I think that Cleveland wasn't as good as they looked earlier during this playoffs. You know, they won a couple close games. Against Atlanta, they couldn't miss. You know, they looked like prime warriors against Atlanta shooting all those dogs.
Right.
You know, they weren't missing. And I think it sort of became fool's gold to them, where now that's all they do. And J.R. Smith, I've never understood how a guy with his talent and athletic ability really acts like he cannot put the ball on the floor. And that's one of the reasons why I've never been a J.R. Smith fan, because he just refuses to do it.
Before I bring Perk back in, I want to say to the callers again, if you want to get in on the conversation, press the number one, press one. We had the 229 on. They left. They came back. 229, if you want to get in on the conversation, don't forget, press one. Let me bring Perk back in so he can respond to what you said, Paris. Perk, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I agree with him. I think Toronto, they play really good defensively. They got really, really, really physical, really hands-on. They was really aggressive. Biyombo is bringing a lot of energy to those guys. You know, he's playing very, very good interior defense. I think that's really helping them, but like I said, I still think Cleveland is, you know, that I think they're letting up some. I really think they're just kind of going through the motions. I expect a big win, a very big win this next game. And that's all I got on that.
Yeah, I think they'll win,
okay.
But I think Toronto will make it somewhat, I'm going to go on a limb here and say it'll be a whole lot closer to games 1 and 2 in Cleveland. So all they have to do is within 20, and you know. So I'll go way out on the limb on that one, but I think a less than 8 point sort of competitive game where Toronto sort of runs out of gas, out of stretch, and Cleveland makes plays. Because you know, confidence is a scary thing, and now Toronto has confidence. Now, do they have the talent to beat Cleveland? Nah, but now they have the confidence to compete with them. And
right.
I think that's what you see from here on out is them. Because I'm not gonna lie, when Cleveland came back last night, I expected the Raptors to fold like a lawn chair. When they came back and took that 4-point lead, I was like, well, you know, they played.
I thought it was over.
Give them a pat on the back. Yeah, I was like, it's done. It's a wrap. but they just kept making plays. You know, they just kept hanging around. I still don't know quite how they did it, honestly, but they kept making plays. You know, Biombo was going to on the glass again.
We know how they did it, Paris. LeBron James shot one time in the last 5 minutes. We discussed.
Yeah, because he did throw that ball to Deli, and Deli sure did shoot that son of a gun up underneath the rim. You can tell he ain't want nothing to do with that shot. That boy was scared when he got that ball. I've seen that look before, and he was scared. He wanted nothing to do with that jump shot. And Tristan Thompson is a fraud. But that's a whole other story.
Didn't somebody try to defend him in one of the groups about how much money he's making? Or am I thinking about something completely different? So I was reading something where somebody was defending how much money he makes, and I'm like, yeah, all right.
You really can't defend him. It's not Tristan Thompson's fault. I would have taken the money too, but I think
you can't blame
really
him.
Good
no,
rebounder. But that's about it. He's not the rebounder. You know, the guys on TV, they hype him and they talk about him being a monster on the glass. And you look at the box score, he has 8 rebounds. You know, and I'm like, wait a minute, for real. I know you see the same thing. They'll talk about him. They're like, Tristan Thompson he's an animal on the offensive glass. And you look, and he has like 4-9, or he'll have 4-11. Well, you know,
right.
When that's like their only job. You should get 11, maybe 12 rebounds. That's all you're doing.
I think back to Rodman. And Rodman got paid to rebound and agitate. And he was very good at rebounding and agitating.
Exactly.
He only had 8 rebounds. It was a bad night, and he wouldn't have told you any differently, period.
If Rodman had 12 rebounds in the playoffs, it was a bad night. We was used to Rodman getting 6 and 20. You know, that was a typical Rodman game in the playoffs. You know, 6-20 and a couple of techs. Well, at least one tech and, you know, a couple of flare-ups. And,
yeah.
You know, Rodman being Rodman.
You know how Rodman does. His job was to irritate and antagonize. He was, you know, But the thing with Cleveland, and I think it kind of goes back to what Herc is saying, you know, you try to figure out are we looking at Toronto winning 2 games or Cleveland losing 2 games? And I think that's kind of where the discussion is to what Perk was saying.
Right.
Because they looked so dominant in the first 2. And I understand it's the NBA, and I understand that Toronto has professionals. And again, let's keep in mind, they are the number 2 seed. People tend to forget that they are the number 2 seed. They acted like they were the number 7 seed when they beat the number 7 seed. If you recall, Paris, the coach saying, I bet you didn't expect to see us here. Yeah, we kind of did.
But with
that said, we all thought Cleveland was the class of the East. And you have to wonder if it's a case of falling in love with the jump shot. Because they seem to fancy themselves as Golden State Midwest, and they've taken a lot more threes. And the one thing we all know about jumpers, if you're gonna be a jump shooting team, you better hit them. Because if you don't,
you have
games 3 and 4. Quite honestly.
Yeah, I think they've definitely fallen in love with the 3 too much, and they definitely need to somehow establish Kevin Love in the post. He has to post up. I mean, even if he doesn't score, just to make the defense react and see what happens,
Paris,
if he does post up.
Even if he doesn't shoot, Paris, even if he doesn't shoot, he doesn't even have to score. He just has to post up to make them think he might shoot.
Yes, exactly.
But I think another point to that is Kyrie Irving and J.R. Smith shouldn't have the same amount of shot attempts as LeBron James, in my opinion. I mean, I'm in no way, shape, or form saying that LeBron James should take all the shots. And you like having the diversity on offense. But LeBron James shouldn't have 17, Kyrie have 19. And on Kyrie's 19 shots, what did he make, 3, 4?
Well, that was game three. He was
I mean, that's
what
I'm talking about, game three. I'm talking about game three.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
game
three.
Game three, he was 4-19.
Right, and you got J.R. Smith that took in the mid, I want to say he was around 15. I can't remember specifically. I was looking at the stats. But you need LeBron to be that guy. You need him to be the guy that you know he is. And it goes back to what you just said, Paris. It's not even necessarily about making the shots. But at some point, the other team, they're professionals. And like you said, you see that look in a guy's eye. And I'm sure that even they knew. LeBron doesn't seem that interested in shooting. After a minute or two, they were like, LeBron isn't shooting. And when last game, Kyrie had another what? What did Kyrie have last game? 20-plus shots?
26. Yeah, and I believe he scored out 26 last night.
And quiet as kept, if I recall, LeBron still had a good game. Almost 30 points, mm-hmm. almost 10 boards, had 5, 6, 7 assists, and he shot well. So it's not even like LeBron had this bad game where the whole tired thing comes into play. It's not like he was 3 for 19 and he could say he was tired. He was 11 for 15, 16, 17, whatever it was. I think LeBron has to be that dude. I think he has to take that mentality of taking over games. And I think that's where we get back away from what Perk is saying, where we're no longer going to say Cleveland gave it to them. Toronto's going to have to take it. But as long as the lead dog gets back on his heels, then you're basically, in a sense, as Perk said, you're giving them every opportunity to win the game. And you can't have that. You can't have that from your best player. You can't have it. That's just my opinion. Kurt, do you have any rebuttal to that? Paris, do you have any rebuttal to that?
No, I think you were pretty spot on.
Yeah, I don't have any rebuttal to that. None at all.
All right, Perk, what's your opinion on this second series, Golden State? Did you have I don't think nobody had Oklahoma State winning by 30, so let's just throw that out there and get that out the way. Nobody had Oklahoma State going up by 30. But I think we all had Oklahoma City at least winning 1-2 games. I mean, I thought they would win at least one, if not two. But it's been a very entertaining series. What's your take on the series so far, Perk?
I'm waiting on Steve Kerr to make that adjustment. I'm waiting on Steve Kerr. I mean, right now they just closed the lead, so they're looking good right now, but Steve Kerr has to make that adjustment because I think quiet is kept. Billy Donovan, he's getting the upper hand in the coaching area in this series. And his bigs are they're getting out there, they running, they defending, they killing Golden State on the glass. They being aggressive. They're actually making Draymond Green be a power forward. They actually pushing him around, putting pressure on him. Boxing them out, you know, they're actually making them be a power forward. And that's what I like about. And then I like how Billy Donovan has been running Adams and Cantor together. I think those two play very, very well together. And I think they have more chemistry than Thurs and Adams. But, yeah, I think I picked Golden State in 7. And I still think they can win in 7. But I also OKC still have shocked me. They're one of my they have a couple players on there I like. I like KD. I like Russell. You know, so I root for them sometimes. But I just think Golden State. I think they're still there, man. No need to panic yet. No need to panic yet.
Not at all.
Perk, I'm gonna disagree with you on one thing. I don't think you can give credit to Billy Donovan. I think you need to give it to Scott Brooks because this is his team. And Billy Donovan is only winning with Scott Brooks players. So just like in the case of Mark Jackson, we're not going to give the credit to the actual coach now.
That's where you were going. I just wasn't sure.
Yes.
Okay.
We are going to give it
I was like, I never heard anybody give Scott Brooks credit. This is
And once again, what is happening is proving my point because Perk just made a solid point. And you're right. Billy Donovan is doing a good job coaching. He has this entire playoffs. Not one person has said, you know, this is Scott Brooks' team. He's winning with Scott Brooks' team. Have you seen anyone mention that?
No, I haven't.
I haven't. And that's why I go back and say Mark Jackson is the only coach for some reason. I think we all know what it is. But for some reason, most people want to give him credit for the success that Golden State is currently having. You know, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, as my mom used to always say. And the goose is getting it, so let's give it to the gander. But yeah, you're right. Old Billy the Kid has definitely stepped up. Golden State has to get some of these loose balls too. They just have possessions where they have three chances to get the loose ball, and somehow OKC came up with it.
You know what I think people forget sometimes as it pertains to Steve Kerr? How many years has he actually been coaching? I mean, assistant coaching, any kind of coach. How long has he been coaching?
He was never an assistant.
Not long.
Exactly. And that's exactly my point. And he didn't even coach half of this year. So he's been a coach all of what? A year and a half? So I mean, it's a championship, back to something you said in the first 10 minutes of the show, Paris. Winning is a great cologne. It's better than Polo. It's better than Cool Water. It's better than whatever's out now, whatever people use. It's better.
How about that? Because Big C, don't nobody wear those no more. But that's okay.
Hey, man, I bought cologne. All right, man, I ain't here for your entertainment. Anyway, so winning is the best cologne. And people have forgotten that Steve Kerr's only coached for a year and a half as far as in-game. And Billy is – how long has he been coaching? This ain't new to him. Making adjustments on
right
new to him. He's a more experienced, quote unquote, coach than Steve Kerr. And
right.
I think at some point people will realize that, and you guys just brought it up this game. And quite honestly, Perk, I don't know if you've had a post and I missed it or if somebody else had one. I hope you guys bring it up in a separate post either tonight or tomorrow and say, hey, you know, when y'all gonna give the veteran coach a little bit of love?
I don't think it's gonna happen. But you know he is. He's doing a nice job. Like you said, he's tightened up the rotations. He's going big sometimes. Sometimes he matches down.
He's taking better advantage of his bigs, hasn't he? Hasn't he made his bigs useful?
But more importantly,
they're not great, but they're useful.
And Russ and KD have, and you know, at the beginning of the year. And that's why I know we had the big debate on OKC. And that's why I always felt like they had enough. Because when you have two top five players, man, that's just so doggone rare. That if those guys hit on all cylinders like they have been, they can elevate teammates. That's why that guy Robinson can be out there on the court. There's probably maybe one other team I'm trying to think that guy could maybe start for. But when you got a guy like Russ and KD out there, he can go out there and score like 4 points and just run around and attempt to play defense on people because they can make up.
Let me say this, and I'm going to use two teams as an example: Scotty and Mike, Kobe and Shaq.
Yep.
After those two guys, there was a fall off in talent, precipitous fall off in talent. You had Big Shot Bob who could hit a shot. You had Rick Fox in his days that could hit a shot. The Bulls had Steve Kerr. He could hit a shot. Yeah, but he would hit a shot. You got Steve Kerr that would hit a shot. Yeah, Bobby Hanson, Jim Paxson, those guys would hit shots. But at the end of the day, it was those two dudes. All they needed from everybody else was play your role and do your part. Horace Grant, we're not going to run plays for you. All we need you to do is get a couple rebounds, get a couple putbacks. Craig Hodges, shoot the jumper. If you're the Lakers, you're like, hey, Derek Fisher, we don't need you to be a scorer. All we need you to do is stay out there, and when Kobe kicks it to you, hit that jumper. Big shot, Bob. Hit the big shot. The shot. Just do what you do. Sit out there at the 3-point line. And I think that's what Oklahoma is getting this year from the other guys. They're getting the other guys that are figuring out their roles, and they're just doing what they do. They're no longer depending on Serge Ibaka to be a quote-unquote third scorer, a third piece.
Right.
No, go out and do what you do. You know, we have specialists for that. We will let these two guys get their 25 to 30 apiece, and everybody else just chip in. And I think that's the beauty of what Oklahoma City is doing this year, or at least in the playoffs specifically, is that because we're able to watch them on a every other night or every two-night basis, you're starting to really see how those roles are starting to play. You're starting to see how guys are finding their spots and their positions on the floor as far as what their skill set is. Even Deion Waiters has looked, quote-unquote, productive. Not great.
Yeah, that's hard.
You don't need him to be great. You don't need him to be great.
This
give us 10 points, dog.
This series has taught me something else, too. And I know me and Perk have talked about this before. KD not going nowhere. KD leaving OKC. He's not going nowhere. After this, I'm convinced he won't go anywhere. Now, he might take the tour because I think to a certain degree, all these guys like having their butts kissed and, you know, flowing around so everybody can tell them how great they are and what they can do for them. Because, hey, you never know what you might hear. You might hear something that maybe you can take back to OKC because these teams are going to present you with, you know, what type of maybe business opportunities they could have for you. So I'm sure you'll probably take the tour, you know, go eat
bad business move if you don't take the tour.
In a way, it is.
Yeah. Because you always yourself
you never know
what's out there. You never know what's out there. You got to go look.
Right.
And like you said, you could use it as a bargaining tool to come back to them and say, hey, they offered me a radio show. You know, I can get an extra $200,000 if I do a weekly radio show. Can y'all hook that up? You never know.
You never know.
So, yeah, you got to take
it. So I'm sure he'll take the tour. Now, if I was an OKC fan, I wouldn't want to hear that because my thinking is whenever a guy gets on that plane, it's always a chance. Could you imagine back in the day if free agency would have been like this, if Jordan would have got on a plane and actually went to go visit someplace, how we would have been – it would have been cold red, Stephen A. Smith would say.
It would have been cold. It would have been cold red without having social media the way it is today. It would have just been nervousness because it would have been worse because we'd have been waiting for the dude to tell us what happened. Now you know immediately what happened.
Because you never know once those dudes get on a plane. You know, you sure, but can you be 100% sure?
Not at all.
Because, you know, things happen. Oh, my God. What?
Yeah, you saw that too.
Doing?
Okay.
Get face off the game. Yep, run right to the bench, big boy. They have done. You know, if they lose this game by 3 or 4 points, they've had about 3 or 4 possessions right now where they've just literally just like thrown the ball away. They really should be up by 4 right now.
That is what they do. Well, that's what they've done. I shouldn't say that's what they do, but they've done that a few games this series where they just, you know, what you're accustomed to seeing from them. The you know, like I always tell my nephew. Appreciate the ball, you know. Appreciate each possession because it's
you like that.
And every one is important, especially
like
at
that.
This time of year. And that's not typically them. They don't typically make those kind of repetitive mistakes. But you know, give Oklahoma City credit. They're putting a little pressure on them. You know, like I
but
told
I mean,
you,
that
Golden
was,
State has he, Golden State's been a front runner all year. They haven't had their backs against the wall. So maybe this is them with pressure. Who knows? We don't know.
He threw the ball right to KD's arms. KD wasn't even pressure. He was like 35 feet away from the basket.
Oh, I'm just talking about
and
overall. No, that was just a bad pass.
Yeah, I mean.
That was just a bad pass.
They are human.
Hey,
and believe me, a certain amount of anxiety will set in.
Stand by for me, Perk. We have a 229 area code that wants to jump in. We're down to our last 15 minutes. Let me get the 229 area code in here. 229, you're on with Harrison Corey. Who is this?
How's it going? This is Merrill.
Merrill, what's
hey,
up, brother?
What's going
How you
on,
doing,
Merrill?
Not much. How y'all fellas doing?
Hey,
doing
real
good,
good
man. Doing good.
Hey, man, I just want to comment on Perk comment. He got to be out of his mind talking about they letting off the gas. You know the gas. They got their butt whooped.
Well, tell us how you really feel, Meryl.
Let me just say, Perk, don't worry. I'll bring him back in.
I'm just going to say this. If you're trying to bring a championship to Cleveland, you ain't got time to let off the gas. That's all I got to say, but ain't no time left to guess. If you Kyrie Irving, you hadn't won one. Besides LeBron, there's nobody that's won one. So how
well,
do you
then let me ask you this.
James Jones,
If LeBron's not letting off the gas, how do you explain one shot in the last 5 minutes in a game where he was 11 for, I think, 15, like I said, 15 or 16? What's your explanation for LeBron? And then saying he was tired. What is your explanation for that? I'm just curious.
Well, that's a cute way to say. When you say he played 4 or 6 minutes, that's a cute way of saying he played too much without complaining. But
yeah, that
is
real flick in him.
Yeah, so
like I said, he's throwing Ty Lue under the bus quietly.
It's not throwing up on the bus. He's putting him right in front of the bus and he's telling him, "I'm running you over."
When you say I didn't get it done because I was tired, you're basically throwing the coach under the bus.
It's a jab. He's not throwing LeBron Tyru under the bus. He's putting him right in front of the bus and he run him slap over.
You say he's just putting his head at the wheel. He's not really running over yet. He's just saying by the wheel.
I'm just saying like this. You can't keep blaming all these coaches. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody can't get
exactly.
Right,
but I mean, I just think that you can't take your foot off the gas when it's nobody else. And like Paris made a good comment. I heard you say that confidence is a mug. And like, why everybody don't think that Raptors can't pull it off? And I do, and I will say, I'll be the first one to say I think Cleveland's gonna win it. The Eastern Conference, let's get that clear. The Eastern side, but the thing is, when you got your center playing with confidence. See, everybody needs an energy guy. I don't care how you spike. Somebody, when you got a good team, I don't care if it's on defense, you need a motivator. Just like when you take Ray Lewis off the Ravens. And he wasn't even the best Ray Lewis at the time when they was winning the ship, but at the same point in time, he's a motivator. You know what I'm saying? He's to keep everybody engaged. And that's all Boyimbo does. He just keep, if I'm saying his name wrong, excuse me, but he keeps everybody engaged. So he fuels the fire, even though he's not doing nothing like y'all was talking about Rock. So I tell you what, if they win the next one, what is game five, you're going to see a whole lot of nail biting. Promise me. And when LeBron gets a nail biting, oh, it's not a good thing.
Hold up, let me. I'm going to bring you back in, Mayor, but let me give Perk a chance to respond. Perk, you're back on. Do you have a response to Merrill's comment about your initial comment? Hello, Perk.
Maybe we lost.
Perk is gone. Yeah, as soon as I clicked over, he disconnected. Merrill, you still there, Merrill?
I'm still.
Okay.
Merrill, I think you scared Perk away.
I just believe that, like, when you're Kyrie, you're loved. Like, all these other guys, Tristan Thompson or whatever, like I hate when guys was a nobody years before, and then they get with somebody, and then they have, like, they've been there before. Like, you can't, I just don't see, like, how you can let off the gas. There's no time. Like, you guys to the best people. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way in the world that you're not sweeping people right now. Like, if you won two games that convincingly, you should still have that passion, that burn in you to go ahead and knock out the Raptors.
Right.
Okay.
Confidence is scary. It's like those dudes in the gym where you know you're better than those dudes in the gym, and
absolutely,
you go out there, you lollygag, and next thing you know, the score is 3-0. And you laugh and you joking. Now you look up and it's 6-3, and you got a doggone ball game on your hands.
Right.
Because you've messed around and given them confidence, and now the thrill dude that messed around and hit two jump shots, and you
right.
can't give him a third. That's the same thing that's going on with Toronto. Now they have confidence. They say confidence can be scary because now they know, hey, we can beat Cleveland. They have the formula. We blew them out and we beat them in a close game, which I think
right, absolutely. And just to touch on the other,
and
theory,
I think people get momentum and confidence confused.
Yeah.
I think some people get confidence and momentum confused. Momentum does not go game to game; it's in game. But confidence can go game to game. How you feel going into it, coming out of it? Yes, I would say
you got a person. You got a person that's gonna go get it. That's gonna challenge everything. And that's all you want. You don't want everybody shooting all these layups. Like y'all said. Like everybody talk about LeBron. They talk about, oh, he's unstoppable. Blah 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 blah. All this stuff. I'm like, they said that all his baskets in the first two series is averaged like 1.2 feet away, or something ridiculous like that. So when you, I can't give you credit for that. I can't get, because you see what he's doing at that free throw line. He's been atrocious. But I just want to touch on the other series. I really think that Steve Kerr has the key in his back pocket, but he won't use it. Take Harrison Barnes out the starting lineup, put your defensive guy in. So when your defensive guy in, which is Iggy Iguodala, everybody will be more engaged. And you'll stop seeing all these turnovers and all that. So instead of him using him on the second squad, everybody be more engaged to start the game off. You won't get a 25. Well, start off like 25 to 10, 25 to 11 to start the first quarter off. That's ridiculous.
Curry can't be missing these layups either. Because that's two layups Curry has missed tonight. And I'm talking layups. You can't afford to miss layups.
I don't think they're locked in. I just don't think they're locked in. And it's nobody. I think that every team needs somebody that's going to hold them accountable. I don't care if it's first team or second team. So I think the second team, everybody shares the ball. They don't turn it over because they know they're key. They're supposed to pick them up. But right now, who's holding them accountable? Like, Curry turns the ball over. Thompson turns the ball over. Harrison Barnes is a great player, but he's just too quiet, too passive, a la Jeff Green. And then you got the big and Draymond. But Draymond is just a big mouth right now. It's time to shut up. It's time to put up.
Mm-hmm. And don't ever put Harrison Barnes and great player in a sentence again. don't ever do that. Because Harrison Barnes is one of the biggest frauds in the NBA.
I tell you what, Paris, y'all gonna be in the sweepstakes for him. And that's small.
No, we not.
That's small four. Yeah, you are. He's gonna get a big check.
I give you a main reason why we're not gonna be in the sweepstakes for Harrison Barnes.
Why not?
We only have about $23.5 million worth of cap space. All right.
Y'all have more than that.
Somehow,
Trey Rose.
No.
Oh, that's not happening. Don't worry about that. Let that go. That ain't happening.
And Harrison Barnes is going to get $20 million a year. I do not want Harrison Barnes. What has Harrison Barnes proved?
Who plays small four for you now?
I'm going to tell you why, Merrill. I'm not about paying max money for guys that haven't given max production. Harrison Barnes has been shielded ever since he was in North Carolina. When he was in North Carolina, God, what is that in the background? We okay back there?
I think it was on Merrill's end. We'll bring him back in. Go ahead, Paris.
Okay. When he was in North Carolina, he was shielded, and it was always once he gets to the pros, his game will expand. Now he's been in the pros, his game hasn't expanded yet. I know he's a third, fourth option now, but even when Golden State has players missing and they go to him, the guy can't produce. You watch him play. Does he finish on a break? No. Can create the half-court set? No. I don't even think he can take two dribbles at the same time. He gives you the occasional spot-up three-pointer, and he can play good defense. 2-3-4. I will give him that. And the occasional spot-up three-pointer. A guy averaged, what, 11, 12 points a game this season? I'm not giving that guy $20 million. Are you crazy? You don't give $20 million to an unproven player that hasn't even that has given you no inkling that he could ever be a guy. If I'm going to pay you the max, that means that you're a max player, meaning when I go into a city, I can put my max player against another guy's max player. And right now, Harrison Barnes is not competing against any other max wings in the NBA. And that is why I definitely would not give him that $20 million. And that is why he will not be in a Bulls uniform. I'm not even worried about it.
All right, let me bring Merrill back in to respond to that, and then we'll get out of here. Merrill, what's your response? You got a couple minutes, and then we're going to have to jump out of here.
Okay, I fully agree. I agree with you, Paris. I see. So I got a quick question. Since can we end it with contracts real quick? So I think the center from the Raptors, Boyanbo, whatever, is up for a contract, right?
Right.
And remember we were talking about Whiteside, right? So he do a lot of things that's kind of similar, but I think Whiteside finished around the basket a lot better.
Right.
So now with him, where do you see the contract for him? The both of y'all, where do y'all see the contract for him moving forward?
Before Paris answers, let me say, Merrill, I'm going to let Paris respond, but I just wanted to thank you for calling in before we get out of here because we're going to be running short on time. Just want to say thanks for calling in again, brother, and our beast, thank you. So, Merrill, I'll let Paris respond, but just wanted you to know we appreciate you calling in, brother.
Absolutely.
All right.
I think that,
Paris, we got about 2 minutes.
Okay.
For your response.
In these last 2 minutes, I think that Whiteside gets a contract between $18 and $20 million, and I think that Biyombo is somewhere between $12 and $14 million. When
fair
it's
enough.
All said and done, that's where their contracts will shake out.
Yeah, at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of people in my opinion at least, overpaid for what they're going to bring. But I guess in today's market, just screw it, still overpaid. Anyway. I was going to try to be nice, Paris, but I couldn't do it. With that said, we had been going for 2 hours for a couple of shows, but tonight we're back to our regular 90 minutes. So I want to thank Perk for being on the show earlier. I want to thank Merrill as well for calling in. Darvis, we see you. Thanks, as always. You call in every week and listen, brother. We appreciate the support. So before we get out, Paris, you got any last words?
What the hell happened to Sale? Austin Jackson, you got one job, you bum, and that's catch the ball in center field. What you did tonight, I would beat you if I was Robin. Maybe I'm overreacting, but maybe I'm not. That was a real bum move. One job.
You talking about that play early in the game?
Yes. That was horrible. That was horrible. He's a bum.
I'd prefer not to get out of here on a bad note, but we're going to get out of here on a bad note. Paris just ruined my early evening. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
No problem.
Well, hold up. What's the score? Is it worse than it was before?
I think it was 6-1 last time I looked.
Oh, yeah.
I've been watching this. I've been watching this basketball game. And wow.
I really hate to think that this is the one game I thought when we swept – or not when we swept. I thought when we split yesterday, I thought that we would come out of this one up 2-1. But, I mean, Sale can't win them all. You need – you know, the one thing we've been priding ourselves on with the Sox has been their ability to take walks this year and the improved defense. And the defense let us down so far in this one. But, hey, still only the six, so we still got a few more opportunities at the plate. So with that said, we are going to get out of here. So for Paris, I am Corey. It is that time. We'll see you guys next week, same time, same phone number. If you're listening on the website, same website. So until then, we'll holler.
Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chillin', surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling.